really me having a bad day at work one day and decided I was job hunting, go on my lunch break, ran across the ad. It was work from home. I said, that sounds good. It was really appealing to me, so I applied for it. And when Carrie emailed me back, then I recognized her last name, and come to find out, I'd actually previously rented from her mother-in-law.
All roads lead back to Jeb's mother.
Yes.
Hey, Warners, welcome to another episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes business sexy again.
I'm Gina Tremarco, Master Sales Trainer, Master Improv Trainer at Sales Gravy.
And I'm Rachel Pitts, Mortgage Loan Officer at US Mortgage and creator of Your Ultra Fit Lifestyle.
And I guess we could announce this here. Sales Gravy is going to be our new sponsor. We are going to be, that's our new home. How exciting is that?
Sweet. Am I going to have to drive to Atlanta now?
you could, but we're not there. We're actually in Augusta.
Oh, well, right. No,
we're actually in Thompson, Georgia. But super excited.
That's about that.
Cool. Look at
that. We love
that.
Jeb.
We love Jeb. We love it. And he obviously likes us.
He likes you. I don't know about me. I'm sort of a side.
No, like I think he likes you. He tolerates me. I think this is how it's worked out now that I work for him.
He's never seen me in person. I'm pretty impressive in person, especially now that I work out so much.
I'll show up in a bikini
and he'll definitely like me.
Oh gosh, his wife will not like that. That would be
okay. Good to know. Good to know.
Yeah, that would be a quick way to lose the sponsorship.
What if I show up in a bikini with my husband?
That yeah. I mean, are we gonna show up to the office that way? I mean, that would be strange, but okay. Hey, you know what? I love your new approach that you've been taking on lately about being yourself and being weird. And I have been like cracking up. I literally go to your Instagram looking for what's today's picture.
Perfect. That's exactly what I was going for.
Yeah, it's awesome. It is amazing that you are doing that and just standing in your craziness. And I mean that in a good way, craziness. So that's been super. It makes me giggle every day.
Visit The Singing Lender on Instagram and Facebook to see what she's talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Go check that out. So speaking of the Sales Gravy train, today's guest is Brooke Holt, one of my coworkers. I wanted to bring her on because she's a little quiet on this episode. I think she might have been just a little bit nervous. But she's usually not that quiet. That's what I wanted to say. She's usually not that quiet, but I wanted to have her on the show because she did do over $1 million in sales in 2020, and she won 3 awards with her company, and she's been with the company for about 8 years. And has really grown so much. She's grown with the company and has helped grow the company. And I know I joked, you know, I could be her mother, but she's young and happening and making it all happen. So I thought that she was the perfect candidate for being a woman your mother warned you about.
She dropped some really great nuggets. So get out your writing pad so you can take notes on this fabulous episode with Brooke Holt.
So, I just found out about this morning that he wants us to live stream the show from Outbound. So
I'd be willing to do that if I can have a hotel room.
You could sleep with me.
Frankly, I've kind of always wanted to.
Well, see, there we go.
Actually, yeah, we survived. We shared a hotel room in Florida. It was fine.
Yeah, you know who didn't survive? Were the poor people that waited on us in Florida. Those are when you almost killed somebody, that poor waitress. That's a whole nother story. Somebody listened to that episode on customer service in season 1. Remember, she wouldn't take the buy one, get one coupon because it was Father's Day. Yeah.
Did you get that account, by the way?
The whole episode.
For customer service?
No, I never got the account. He never returned my calls.
Maybe you should follow up.
Well, now it's the restaurant industry. I'm not going after that market at all.
Moving right along.
Just staying away from it. Okay, so we digress. We are rogue on this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About, and I'm excited to have my coworker on the show, Brooke Holt, and she's so excited to be here. Right, Brooke?
Of course.
Yeah. Isn't she adorable?
You are adorable. I love her. Welcome, Brooke.
Thank you.
So I wanted to have Brooke on the show because Brooke is like, she inspires me. She's, and I don't want to make this an age thing, but I could probably be her mom. Yeah, I could. I could definitely be her mom for sure. Definitely could be her mom age range wise. And she is just on fire at Sales Gravy in sales. And I thought it'd be kind of inspiring to just to hear her story of how she got where she got, because she started Sales Gravy pretty young. And we just had our most recent awards ceremony from 2020. And I lost track. I know you got, Brooke, how many awards did you get for 2020?
Three.
You got three awards.
Yes, three.
Okay, wait, rewind.
What were,
so because we're talking about that you're so young, how old are you, Brooke?
31.
Okay, now tell us about your three awards.
So for 2020, I received the Top Gun Award, the Million Dollar Club, and the Pinnacle Club Award. I'm looking behind me because they're over here.
What do those mean? Tell us more about that.
The Top Gun Award is basically for overall production in terms of sales. The Million Dollar Club is for selling over $1 million in new business, and the Pinnacle Club is similar to that, but there's a dollar amount that you have to hit in order to qualify for the Pinnacle Club, which is a new club that we started this year.
Nice.
It's pretty impressive. I mean, it's pretty exciting to you. This is the first time you hit over $1 million, right?
It is.
So that's exciting. Like, that to me is inspiring and motivates me, and it's motivated a lot of other people, because, and it's harder for those who are trainers. I mean, we're supposed to sell and train. And so I don't say it too loud, but I would love to just be selling all the time. I mean, I love training, but I love selling. It's just such a battle between the two.
Managing the two, I'm sure, is tough.
Yeah, it has its challenges. One day, Jeb called me in and said, he calls me in, he makes me stand in front of him, and he says, "You failed me." And I said, I just looked at him, I go, "I know."
Oh, Lord.
He says, "Do you know what? You failed me." And I'm like, "Oh, I know. I know exactly." He's like, what was it? And I told him. He's like, "Yeah." And then he like went on to, you know, get it out of his system and talk about it. And I'm like, "I have no excuses, Jeb." And then I go, "Well, I'm trying to get my sea legs on. I'm trying to juggle training and prospecting." And I'm like, I closed the deal finally because I actually prospected finally. And he's like, "Nobody is busier than me." And I said, "You're right. And I aspire to be you when I grow up."
You aspire to be a man?
Just.
So let's go back to Brooke for a second. Brooke, are you the youngest saleswoman in the company? Or is there anybody younger than you? You are? Awesome.
Well, we have a salesman that's younger than I am. Actually, we have two now because we've hired one. So there's two that are younger than me.
Would you say you're a millennial? Is 31 a millennial?
I don't consider myself a millennial. Whether it's fits in that category from an age bracket, I'm not sure.
So would you be Gen Y?
Probably.
Okay, gotcha. Just so our listeners can clarify where that is, but they probably already know.
I think Brooke is also an older soul. I could be wrong on that, but I just feel like she is. And you have a house full of kids, too.
I do.
Which has to definitely...
Kids and adults.
House of kids and adults. How many kids are in the house?
I have my son and my daughter, and then I have my nephew that I recently got custody of.
So you have a handful. And that was another reason why I wanted you to come on the show, because this fits exactly what we, you know, our audience and what we talk about. We're trying to make things happen as women in sales, and we're trying to balance everything else in our personal lives on top of it. And Brooke, you and I have talked about that too, because you put in the time, you put in the hours to make things happen, and that's why you are where you are.
Right.
So talk a little bit about, let's back up a little bit. How did you get started with Sales Gravy?
I started as an account manager many years ago. I've lost track. Carrie would probably deny that, but I think 8 years now. Actually, next week is my annual that's coming up. So I think next week will be 8 years, possibly nine, but I think eight. So I started in the account management role back when Jeb was running the job board. So it was just employment advertising sales, and I was managing those accounts, and then transitioned from that into a sales executive role when we started doing more of the training, and then from there into the sales manager role. So covered a lot of positions, covered a lot of different responsibilities within the company, and it's been eventful.
You've really watched the company grow to where it's like you've been there from the ground floor up.
I have. Yep.
What were you doing before that?
I was some account management and sales and promotions. So promotional products for a retail store here locally.
Mm-hmm. And then how'd you get connected with Sales Gravy?
It was just really me having a bad day at work one day and decided I was job hunting, go on my lunch break, ran across the ad. It was work from home. I said, that sounds good. I was actually in the process of going through a divorce. So work from home with having the kids was really appealing to me. So I applied for it. And I think I actually told you a piece of this story before when Carrie emailed me back, then I recognized her last name, and come to find out, I'd actually previously rented from her mother-in-law.
All roads lead back to Jeb's mother.
Yes.
So we were telling this story at the holiday party because I started staying at Jeb's mom's cabin on the farm, not knowing it was Jeb's mom.
There you go. Sounds like she's got a good real estate empire.
That connection.
Nicely done.
I think so.
So would you say, Brooke, that you were born a saleswoman, or do you think that you learned a lot of your skills? Because that's kind of like the age old question of like, some people are made for sales and some people are not.
I would say not. I think I actually remember telling Jeb a few times that I did not want the sales position role, and he refused to take that as an answer. He basically told me, I know you can do it, so you're going to do it. So I don't think that I was born a salesperson. I don't think I would be where I'm at without the help from Jeb, others on the team pushing me, telling me that I had the ability to do it, and obviously the content that we have at Sales Ready.
So I bet you he probably looked at you as like a project, like, I'm going to make her into a saleswoman.
Yes.
Well, he must have seen something in you. Did he ever tell you what that was?
No, probably being competitive and money motivated would probably be, if I had to guess, I would say he probably picked up on those two things.
You and I have talked about that. You have to be hungry.
You do. Yep.
So talk a little bit about what an average day is like for you, including how much, whatever personal you want to share with us of how you structure your day to get to the $1 Million Club.
Coffee, Red Bull, and more coffee. With some wine.
What's your day? With some wine mixed in. Yeah, 100%. Your days are pretty long.
They are, and most of it is because I have the juggling of the kids in between, so getting them up and ready for school and to school in the mornings, and then having to pick them up usually around 3 o'clock. So I have some breaks in between the typical work day, which then results in me working later in the afternoon. But it's pretty much from daylight to dark, busting it out, making calls, figuring out the schedule in between the kids and work, trying to make sure everybody else on the team is taken care of. So it's definitely a full day.
Well, there was a lot of women out there that would like to use their children as an excuse to that a reason that they can't be productive or more productive. I personally find that to be a really unfair use of the children as an excuse. So I really like hearing that you find balance in your $1 million producer, and hopefully that'll be inspiring to any Warners that are listening, because everybody has the same 24 hours in a day. And if you create that balance and have your time scheduled properly, then you can make miracles happen, as Brooke is. So tell us, do you have any type of special way that you schedule? Are you, you know, do you use a calendar? How do you make all that work?
I do. So I actually struggled with time management for quite some time. And then I figured out, obviously, the only way around it to manage it, especially with having the kids, is to use a calendar. So everything on my calendar is blocked, typically from start to finish, as far as call blocks, social media campaigns that I run. So usually keeping that system and structured on the calendar is about the only way that I can manage it.
Amen to that. I am a huge advocate of time blocking. And, you know, people ask me a lot about how I get everything done. And I'm like, I make myself a schedule. I stick to that schedule and stick. Like, today's been back to back to back to back to back. But I'm getting it all done because it's just scheduled. And actually, busy people get more done because we keep that tight schedule.
Right.
We're not laying around wasting away.
100%. And we had talked about that. Brooke and I had talked about that previously too, about, I know she's a little quiet and shy right now, but if you see her in other moments, we've had some lively conversations about when people just have excuses about why, you know, why they can't produce, and they have a million excuses. And Brooke's like, if I can have, you know, three kids to manage and everything else going on and still make it all happen. And again, it's not to, there are some men I know that have a million excuses, but they don't have nearly what's going on that a lot of women have going on, because there's a lot of women who are really taking care of everything in the household, plus working more than a full-time schedule. And it really does come down to that tenacity and the ability to schedule yourself and to be intentional to get it done. So if you're full of excuses and you're lazy, your kids are probably starving.
Actually, interestingly enough, it's usually the opposite. Strangely, but I just love that. I love hearing about a $1 million producer that's also a mom of multiple kids that doesn't. It's not an excuse. It's just part of your life. And kids are a great asset and a huge challenge sometimes, but it's part of life. And Gina, to your point, for sure, like, guys don't even most of the time put makeup on.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I mean, maybe some guys do. I'm not going to qualify that, but that takes a minute.
Yeah, and especially depending on the job you're in, you can't just phone it in, and you have to be, a lot of us have to be video ready. I forgot my power cord at the studio yesterday for my laptop, and I had to drive. It's not that far of a drive. I had a 30-minute drive from Augusta to Thompson to go get my power cord so I could work today and do this podcast in the hotel room. And I'm like, damn it, I got to put makeup on now. Shit. Because I was not about to walk into Sales Gravy office and have a run in with Jeb and not be like, you just don't know.
Without your lipstick.
But without my lipstick, it's work. It's work. You got to dress the part. I'm curious, Brooke, do you have a story or two of, I don't know, some best practices or something you learned from either something that maybe went majorly wrong for you in a sales process, or was just a cool, exciting, out of the ballpark kind of experience?
Well, I did recently have a mistake in the sales process that was a huge learning point for me, to always keep a backup of everything. So had a really great discovery call with a client. I actually had two discovery calls that were back to back with a client. Had all of my notes situated, created the proposal, changed computers right shortly afterwards. And somewhere along the way, I lost all of that. I have no idea where it got lost at in the mix, but needless to say, I will definitely be using my Google Drive more often than not for that purpose. So I had to go back and try to remember bits and pieces of it. And luckily I had someone that I could call at the organization that would understand and could feed me some information that I was missing prior to the next call. So definitely having that would be really, really helpful.
I hate that when you work on something for so long and then you lose your work. Oh, I think everybody who's listening has probably had that experience. Gotta love the cloud.
It happened to me just last week when I was putting together curriculum actually for a client that Brooke and I closed together, and I put the curriculum together and then it disappeared and I had to do it all over again. It sucks.
It's very nerve-wracking.
The cloud is our friend for sure.
For show.
Any highlights of exciting things for you? I mean, as you've grown in the company has grown, you've worked with bigger deals, bigger situations versus what you were doing in the very beginning. Harder work or easier work as you've seen the company grow and the projects get bigger?
I would say it's a combination of both. Obviously some of the deals that I work on are obviously harder. But it also makes it easier having the knowledge and have been here so long and knowing the ins and outs and everything from start to finish. So when I'm working on a deal that, yes, it is harder than what I've worked on previously, but it is easier because I have that knowledge from over the years. So
any advice you have for women just getting into sales? If you were to talk to Brooke 8 years ago, what would you tell Brooke?
Time management is huge, and self-development, I would say, taking the initiative to learn things, not wait on someone to hand it to you, would be huge for me.
Oh, yeah. And for me, that's a huge part of my time management. Like, I have a routine that is becoming like clockwork, like get up, go to the gym, do that. On the way home, I start listening to my audio. While I'm making breakfast, I read. While I'm getting ready, putting on my fabulous makeup, then I'm listening to other audio and learning all the time. And like, that's one of those things that people will give you pushback on, is that time that I just don't have time for that. They don't have time to further better themselves and educate themselves and listen to Jeb's books on audio, or, you know, but you do, like, while you're, you know, you can fit it into your schedule and, you know, add that stuff in. Cause as Brooke said, it's so crucial to just work on yourself. And there's so many great resources out there, a lot of which are offered by Sales Gravy, right?
It does kind of help when you're selling a product related to selling. although I think there's some of that too, that, you know, I wonder if Brooke feels this way. Like, our job, we have to model for our clients. So,
like runway?
Yes, runway models. You know, they're watching us more. They're watching us with a more critical eye, because a lot of times we're selling to other salespeople often, and they're watching how we are selling and making a decision, sometimes subconsciously, on whether or not they want to work with us based on how we're selling to them. So that sometimes can be, I don't know, I'm wondering if Brooke feels this way. That can sometimes feel a little daunting or stressful when you know that there's already a lot of emotions involved in the sales process, but now they're watching you even more so than any other salesperson. I mean, what do you think, Brooke?
That's right. I mean, we're always on the stage. I mean, I hear people tell me all the time that, you know, they want to move forward with our training because they know that it works. Obviously, it worked on them. They see us scheduling next steps. And I think it's huge, especially when we have all the content there for us. And definitely we're on the stage all the time.
Talk a little bit about next steps, because I think this is a powerful piece that salespeople miss. Talk about next steps.
Well, basically just making sure that you have the next step on the calendar following any meeting, whether it's an additional discovery call, an alignment call, or a proposal review. For me, I know at one point I struggled with scheduling next steps when sometimes you get to a point to where they say, well, we need to review the information internally and then I'll get back to you. So there's not really a next defined next step. But even in that moment, I always try to at least get a 5-minute call on the calendar for the following week just to reconnect and see if there's a point where we can define next steps at that point. So I think it's really important to make sure that regardless of what the ending of the call is, that you have something on the calendar, at least 4 or 5 minute check-in.
Hey guys, just a real quick reminder, if you'd like to find social media links to me, Rachel, Gina, and our favorite Warner Keith, go visit womenyourmotherwarnsyouabout.com, where you can also find some cool free downloads. Now back to the show.
I think that is extremely powerful. That is something that I make sure always happens. I even kind of like joke about it too, because sometimes I had a call yesterday. It's like the third, but I was like the next level of decision maker was involved, had questions to ask. And we have been talking about one of the problems their sales team is having is with next steps. Like that's something that they want us to focus on from a training perspective. And I'm like, so we're all talking the same language, right? So it's not like I'm teaching them anything on the call. And I'm like, at the end of it, I'm like, okay, you know, I have to do this. I need a next step. So I know you need to talk to your CFO, but let's go ahead now and schedule the next meeting in 2 weeks, because by then you will have talked to your CFO, right? That to me has been such a muscle thing for my brain to like just get better at not letting them off the phone without that next thing.
Well, and what Brooke just said was really actually kind of genius in the even just a 5-minute check-in. And that actually probably works really well for you, I imagine, Brooke, because it's not a huge commitment. It's not necessarily that they have to make their final decision, but that 5-minute, if you have that 5-minute phone call on your schedule, number one, like I'm just processing, like thinking about my own self. And when you, like when I call somebody and you ask for business or talk to their, you know, I'm prospecting realtors and you're like, okay, well I'll talk to you soon, right? And then you don't have it on your calendar, then you chances are you probably won't follow or you'll just like get lost in the shuffle. So I imagine it's really good for you, Brooke, as the salesperson and also for them. And even if the 5-minute phone call is, hey, I have not had a chance to look at that material. I'm so sorry. I've just been really busy, but thank you for calling. And, you know, let's schedule another follow-up. So that's something that sounds kind of painless that people, almost everybody probably commits to a 5-minute phone call, right, Brooke?
That's right. And I usually stress that and say just a quick 5-minute call so that they don't assume that it's another 30-minute Zoom meeting. And generally, it's pretty quick. And sometimes you'll get an email beforehand that says, hey, I haven't received an update yet. Let's push this back to next week. Or they may get on the call just because they scheduled it and they're obligated. And it is just like you said, I don't have an update yet, but let's push it out to next week. So it keeps it in front of you.
So then you put 5-minute phone calls on your calendar.
I do.
Write that down, Warners.
Super, super easy to do. I think it also keeps them engaged in the process and continues to build and strengthen that law of reciprocity that now the longer they're in it with you, the more likely they're going to stay till the end to get it closed.
Right.
Because you've continued to carry them along the journey.
Well, and also it's, I know for myself, I have multiple emails and I have multiple emails sitting in those email inboxes that I'm like, oh, I'll get to that. It's important to me and I'll get to it. And if I know that I have something on my schedule, I'm going to get to it. It's part of just, you know, I'm sure there's some law that they call, like, where you're like, oh shoot, I have to get to that because I'm talking to Brooke on Tuesday for 5 minutes. I better look at this thing that she sent me.
Yeah.
Just so much comes at everyone these days, via email and social media and phone calls and responsibilities and COVID and kids and all the things, that when you see it on your calendar, and I'm hopefully, you know, there's some kind of reminder, you know, it definitely would make me more apt to look at the material you sent me if I knew I had a call on the schedule, rather than, oh, I better look at this and get back to her one day. Cause I just actually, like, literally before I got on here, I was looking at email and I had an email from somebody that I had a phone call with recently. She did not set up a next step with me. And I was like, I just don't think I have time for this. Delete.
Yep.
Well, it's also important for, you know, because we're dealing with busy people, is to remind them that they have a meeting with us. I mean, I sometimes forget to do that, to just do that, like, appointment confirmation that keeps them engaged. And if I stay on top of that, then the meeting will stick.
I love when people do that, actually. Like, I have, tomorrow I have an appointment. And when I have set the appointment, I get an alert that says, you just set an appointment with so-and-so. And then I got another alert, like, day before yesterday, reminding me to confirm it. And then I know I'll get another one in the morning. Like, I love that. I need that. Anybody who has that kind of system wins with me, because I won't forget. You know, my dentist does that too. I get 5 or 6 alerts to remind me. I think I get an email and a text, and then I get a text the day before. And I personally, I'm so busy with many, many things that I really do like that.
I also think that goes to speak to what you can expect from your doctor's office or sales gravy, right? Like, when you know that constant communication is happening and there's that attention to detail, chances are that the rest of that relationship is going to be treated that way, which subliminally helps in the sale.
Yeah. And it also,
in my opinion,
like, my opinion on that particular business is elevated because I know I'm important enough to be reminded, and that yeah. business has established yeah. some kind of system, because they're a professional business,
right,
that wants their time is yeah. valuable. So therefore they want to make sure that I'm going to be there and not skip or whatever. So it elevates the business's yeah. status in my eyes personally.
Mm-hmm. It looked like, Brooke, you had a thought on that.
Yes. Yeah, so I was just going to say, I think, with virtual selling now being a thing, I think reminders being short video clips has been really helpful for me. I think it makes them hold themselves accountable more than they typically would when they see that there's someone looking to make sure that they are part of the scheduled call. So rather than sending just a plain email that says, hey, reminder, we have a call tomorrow, sending a personalized video message that says, hey, Gina, I look forward to speaking with you tomorrow at 2 p.m. This is what we expect to cover. Boom, and send it off. I think when they get something like that, it makes them feel a little more obligated to show yeah. up and be there. So,
and that's definitely something we actually teach in video prospecting and messaging. Is that exact what you just said?
I'm writing that down.
I love sending video confirmations, and I love seeing, like, they click to open it and watch the video, and then Streak lets me know they opened the email. Like, I geek out
That's
on
cool.
that.
So you guys use a system called Streak? Is that what you use?
Well, I use Streak. I don't know. Do you use Streak, Brooke?
I don't. I've actually never heard of it.
Streak is a it's like a plugin. Is that what you call it with Google? Mm-hmm. And so you can just, I don't know, I'm not very techy, but you could just Google Streak. And Streak lets you know when someone's opened your email.
I have a similar thing with HubSpot. So HubSpot tells me the same thing as far
okay.
as what they've clicked on, if they've opened it, how much time they spent on an article link that I send to them or whatever the case may be.
Well, you need to show me that HubSpot. I haven't used that yet.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I haven't used that yet. So there's mm-hmm. the things out there, the talent. But Streak is Streak for just for Gmail in general. I know if someone's opened an email. And then are you using Vidyard, Brooke?
I do.
So Vidyard is a big app for Sales Gravy. Most of us are using it. So I use Vidyard for my confirmation emails or just general prospecting. And that, too, has analytics attached to it. So you know when someone's watched the video.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. So you know that they got. And it's cool to watch. Like, Streak will notify me, Rachel has opened your email. And then Vidyard will be like, someone has watched your video. you're watching it in real time. You're like,
whoa. Oh, Lord have mercy. Now I know why you act so busy all the time. Busy watching everybody open, read your messages.
Hey, they're buying cues. They're buying cues, especially when they've opened the email, they've opened the video, and then they, I've had this happen, within 5 minutes, get a return email. I have a better chance of a return email with a video.
I think that's a really underutilized trick, and definitely underutilize it, and I am learning right now. And it's reminding me, because even just if really short, you can text it. And there's other apps out there and platforms that allows you to do that stuff. If you really, I don't personally care to see if they open it. But I would.
But you can actually use that. But you can use that as a tool. You can use that as a tool to see if they're engaged, especially if you're using it for prospecting. So if they've watched it, you know, we talk about blending and sequencing in our approach. Sending a video is just another piece of a touch point. And if they've watched it, we know that they've heard the name Gina or they've seen Brooke's face. Like, you know that you got through on that touch point.
Right.
Video has a 400%. There's a 400% conversion rate on emails that use videos.
Definitely, I would believe that.
It's big, and people aren't using it as much as they can be to stand out. Just saying. I drink a lot of gravy. This is all the gravy coming out of our pores.
What else you got? What do you think, Brooke, would be your greatest asset when you're selling?
Well, that's a good question.
Probably persistence. I think I'm pretty good with staying on top of things and making sure for the most part that things don't fall through the crack and making sure that there's a next step to find. So for me, I think that's huge, delivering what the client expects and making sure that you stay on top of your accounts.
And do you use a CRM for that, or how do you manage the contact points with your prospects and clients?
I do. So I use HubSpot for everything. I probably use it more than the average person. I have tasks for everything. and that's how I keep up with it. I'm even, I know Gina can speak to it. If I send a note to Gina to do something for a client, I set a task to remind myself to check with Gina and confirm that it's been taken care of so that it's not just sent over to someone and then it falls off from there. So we're all busy. So that's been a huge help for me, is using HubSpot and scheduling tasks.
That actually is a really, really good idea. So I think a lot of people fall into that trap. I've heard it lately from someone very close to me that you ask, let's say you are someone who owns a business and you have employees and you ask someone to take care of a task for you. Well, sometimes they'll get it done, but that what Brooke just said about set, if it's an important task, set a reminder to yourself to make sure that said employee, or when, like Brooke said, that she wanted Gina to take care of something and schedule your follow-up, because people do get busy. And then it takes away that piece where where we get frustrated of like, well, you said you were going to do that. Well, it puts it back on you that you, if you want it done by someone else, make sure that you're following up on that. Good stuff.
And I think it's not just the persistence for Brooke, it's the follow through and the follow up, right? And so many, I think, salespeople leave money on the table because they didn't follow up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, and I, what I love about HubSpot, it's constantly annoying you about following up on the things you were supposed to finish with that account or that deal or... I just found the little task area in HubSpot today because I keep getting alerted of the different tasks I have not completed. I'm just happy when the money in the contract comes in. I'm like, okay, those are the big ones. And then sometimes I finish the other tasks, but I forget to mark them off the task list in HubSpot. But it's helpful to have all the tools to make things happen. And that's how that follow-up happens. But people who are...
Sounds to me like if you'd like to have the $1 million award, Gina, you should learn to use your tasks like Brooke.
Hey, the number as Jeb will say, did you get money? It's not a... He's like, did you get money? Because I got excited about one of my first deals. He's like, don't jinx yourself. You don't have money. And I'm like, it's coming.
Now you got to be careful with that. I was listening to Kick Ass by Mel Robbins. Really, really great audio. And that bit this one particular fellow in the rear because he signed a multi-$1 million contract. They did the work and, or no, I take it back. They didn't get the contract signed. They got a handshake deal, put all millions of dollars into this project, and then never got paid. And then he ended up going bankrupt and just being destroyed because he didn't have that.
Oh,
you know, so you do got to be careful if it thinking that it's coming. I've done that in real estate a million times too, of like assuming that you're going to get this money and something happens.
So you know, let's talk about the $1 million club for a second. What is your advice for someone trying to get to the $1 million club?
I think being persistent, making sure that you have a consistent schedule for prospecting daily. I think a lot of times, as we talked about, excuses come into play of, well, I had such and such I had to do today, so I didn't get to prospecting. Starting your day with prospecting, even if it's just a 30-minute block, is really important. And then building out your existing relationships, not closing a deal and moving on to the next thing. There's always something else that can come from that deal. So I think it's really important.
And break down prospecting a little bit. You know, we schedule call blocks on our calendars, but break down your approach a little bit on how you prospect before you start getting on calls.
So typically I have a list created the day prior to, so I know going into the beginning of the day what my target audience is, what the intent of the prospecting is for, whether it be for training or e-learning on at Sales Gravy University. So that piece for me is important. So usually I have call blocks that are specific to an offering that I'm selling. So it could be for Sales Gravy University, and then an evening block could be specific to training. For me, that's important in making sure that I have that the day before. So that's part of how I end my day, is making sure that I'm prepared for the next day so that I don't have to come in, figure out what I'm doing before I actually get started.
I picked up a nugget there. So are you actually niching in your approach of, okay, tomorrow I'm going to sell e-learning?
I do. So usually I have at least two call blocks, which normally I do an hour to an hour and a half for block. Some of us are doing 30-minute blocks. For me, it works best for me to do 60 to 90 minutes and go ahead and knock out a chunk at one time. So normally I'll have one that's focused on training itself, whether it be on-site or virtual, and then another one that's specific to Sales Gravy University e-learning.
That is, I love that. So that keeps you kind of streamlined in your language and what you're going to say, I would imagine.
It does.
I love that. That's my little nugget I'm taking from Brooke.
Are there ulterior motives here?
Maybe I'm trying to get to the million dollar club.
Well, and you know what's really interesting is when you learn from high achievers, you can't become a high achiever just by learning the tricks from a high achiever. You have to go out and execute the tricks from a high achiever, which is why I always tell all of my secrets of what I do about just about everything, because you know, it's not like somebody's going to come and steal my business, because are they going to do what I told them? You know?
Right.
So that's the thing is knowledge is not power. Knowledge plus action is power.
And here's the other thing. People buy you, right? So at the end of the day, Brooke could give me every single secret she has to get to the million-dollar club, but at the end of the day, I'm not Brooke.
I'm thinking that Brooke chases a few less squirrels than you, too, from the sounds of just talking with her.
What's that supposed to mean?
She's very organized, and you're busy over here chasing squirrels. A few less squirrels, and you can get to the million-dollar club.
Listen.
And that comes from a queen squirrel chaser over here.
Listen. Linda, listen. I am much better now since I've joined Sales Gravy, because I really have no other squirrels to chase except the squirrels within Sales Gravy.
And there's a lot of those.
They're just orange squirrels.
They're definitely... I mean, it is a juggle. It is a juggle on, you know, Brooke is strictly sales. I am training in sales. And so there is definitely a juggle. So, I mean, that's why I took that tip away from her of like, you know, okay, this block is e-learning and this block is training. For me, in a similar situation, I have to block out days where this day is content development. This is the day where I create curriculum for my clients. This is the day when, because they're two different, like different levels of your brain mm-hmm. that you're using. If I'm knocking out curriculum, I'm not selling. I'm thinking about learning takeaways and an adult learning process. And it's a completely different, you know, what did my client say their outcomes are? And, you know, it was actually a deal that Brooke and I closed together that their training just launched this week. And it's a little bit different. It's a blend. It's a blend of our training programs, and it's applying their industry language to it as well. Because I had to change some of the language. That's mm-hmm. a whole different. And then I'm like, oh yeah, did I follow up on that deal? So I've had. I mean, it's getting easier as I go because, I mean, I've only been with Sales Gravy since October, so.
I think that's something that really is very, very good from Brooke, because I think a lot of salespeople and entrepreneurs and business people in general, they do get kind of pulled in different directions. I mean, I say the squirrel thing because I that is me, but I've also gotten a little bit better at it. But you're like working away. You're like, oh, I'm going to prospect during this hour. Oh, what's that? Social media. Oh gosh, this email came in. Oh, this, you know, and then if you allow yourself to be pulled in other directions, then you're not as productive, as opposed to like what Brooke said, this is my hour and a half to focus on selling e-learning, period.
End of story. Until all kinds of shit hits the fan, and then that doesn't work out.
Best laid plans, right?
There are days, actually, someone else at our company, Keith, we talk about this. Like, we try to use our Fridays to get other bigger things accomplished. And the next thing, I'm like, what happened to my Friday? A lot of times what happens with my Fridays are that prospects that needed to reschedule, they all get shifted to Friday, and then Friday turns into a selling day, which is not a bad thing, but it definitely messes up my schedule when I'm like, Friday was my day to finish developing spontaneous selling that was due on January 4th that Jeb likes to remind me about. He yelled at me the other day. He's like, you're 60 days behind. I'm like, no, I'm not. I said January 4th. I am not 60 days behind. At that time, I was like 30 days behind. We're getting close to 60 days behind now. But you need someone to poke on you like that.
Yeah, you finish that spontaneous selling and then get back to that book, Gina.
Stop. Remember that one time when we had Jeb on our podcast? Well, we've had him on a few times, but remember that one time? I think it was maybe the first time. No, I was gushing the first time. Maybe it was the second time when he said he would write the foreword to my book.
Pretty sure we have that on a recording.
We you have that on
write
audio.
The fucking book so it's first, in. And then he can write the foreword.
I think he may have even said, probably. Write the fucking book.
I would agree with him 100%.
Probably.
Hey, it's coming. Before we get wrapped up, Brooke, we have a few signature questions.
Oh, she's going to love these.
So, how would you define the word sexy?
I don't know. There's a lot of definitions of that.
Pick one for us.
Intelligence.
Oh, I like that. I think intelligence is sexy.
You can have
stupid people are ugly.
They can be hot, but you just don't want them to open their mouth. Stand over there and be hot and don't talk. Okay, perfect. All right, that one, we got through that one. That was the hard one. That's the hard one.
That was the hard one, I think, for Brooke.
For someone she's nice and calm. And so, Brooke, what would be the best advice you've ever been given?
To shut up and listen.
Who gave that to you?
Jeb.
I knew it. I knew it. Because it sounds like something Jeb would say.
You know, it's funny. I was just on another call earlier today, and I was talking about, you know, you get all these self-development books, and you spend money on courses, and you learn all these things, and all those things boil down to shut up and listen and care, right? Those are the things that on every sales expert that we've had on our podcast, mm-hmm. It all boils down to shut up and listen,
yep.
And really give a true shit, right? Like really care about somebody.
I actually care.
But mm-hmm. It sometimes just takes like 100 self-development books or the right person in the right, you know, moment to say, just shut up and listen. Right? Any advice, Brooke, that you wish you had been given?
Probably the time management piece. That was huge for me. It was a big learning curve for me to figure out how to manage time. So
awesome.
I have one final question for you, Brooke.
I have no more answers, Gina.
She's tapped out.
Yesterday I was texting her. I'm like, I've got like 5 questions to ask you. I'm like trying to get out of it. Like, I can't remember the last, by the time we got on the phone, I can't remember the last question. And then she came up with it. She's like, she read my mind. Okay, last question. So you did over $1 million in 2020. What is your goal for 2021?
My goal is to hit 2 million.
Yes. Awesome.
I believe you can do it.
That's what I want. Yeah, I wanted to hear it. I wanted to hear it. That's awesome.
It took a lot of time and energy to hit over 1 million, but...
Yeah, it does. It does. Are you going to have a strategy behind that to get to 2 million?
I do. I'm actually working on a plan. Not quite done with it yet, but I do. I'm working on something.
Oh. Oh. Sounds interesting.
That's a nugget you will not get.
Way to go. Hold that one close to your chest there, Brooke.
I will bring you some wine.
Uh-oh. Mike can negotiate now.
There we go. Wine and chocolate chip cookies from Jeb's mother.
Oh, all right.
They are really good. She is an amazing baker. All right. We have to wrap up this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. We had Brooke Holt from A Sales Gravy with us today. Thank you, Brooke, so much for being here and putting up with us.
Thank you.
And if you want to find out more about Brooke, you can go to the Sales Gravy website and salesgravy.com and you'll find her there. She's got, or you'll find it in the show notes. I have the link to her page in our show notes. You can find her there and you can find her on LinkedIn and all the places. And where can we find you, Rachel?
You can find me all over social media as The Singing Lender. For mortgage needs and for any fitness needs, UltraFit Lifestyle and websites of the same name.
Awesome. Again, go to Women Your Mother Warned You About to learn everything about Rachel and I and Keith, who's actually texting me right now. He went out for ice cream, never came back. He'll be back one day. You can learn more about him on the website. And to find out more about me, you can go to GinaTremarco.com, which will lead you to everything Gina, including Sales Gravy. Anything else we need to tell the Warners before we go?
If you'd be so kind to hop over to iTunes and leave us a review, you will help us spread more love. Thanks for that.
Awesome. See you, Warners. Bye.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah. It doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
Women Your Mother Warned You About is a Pod About It production. You've got a great idea. Let's pod about it. Visit podaboutit.com for more information.
Woof, woof. Monkey, monkey.